You would, if you'd like, maybe while you're still standing, you want to stay standing for just a minute. Let me just give you maybe one verse to start with. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And pick up where we left off on Sunday evening for those of you that were able to make it. And if you weren't, then you can. I'll try to kind of recap a little bit for you. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look, if you will, please, and this is where I want to go tonight. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 7. Make it 6. The Bible says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Now the reference he's talking to there is the individuals that were in the wilderness wandering around out there. They got in trouble because they wanted things God didn't want them to have. "Neither be ye idolaters." See how it's connected with the lust there, the covetousness there. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Now here the idolatry is connected with self-pleasure. Notice in verse number 8, right after that, "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. And then you get on into murmuring and complaining and in samples and all that. Come all the way down. "No temptation taking you," verse 13, "such as common to man." And then verse 14, "Wherefore, dearly beloved," here's the cap on the end of it. Notice he says, "Flee from idolatry." Flee from idolatry. All right, look if you will, please, with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Now, I've mentioned to you before, and I've tried to make sense of it in the past. It doesn't seem to resonate very well with modern theology, but it is better to avoid than it is to resist. When the Bible tells you to flee certain things, what does flee mean? I heard one guy say, well, flee is to fly, and fly is to flee, and he that flieth, and he that fleeth, and he that all that. That means get out of Dodge. That means turn your back on it and run away from it. That means don't keep messing around with it and monkeying around, because sooner or later, the longer you stay around it, you'll wind up getting hostage takers syndrome, and then you'll start defending it, and then you'll start justifying it, and then before long, you'll say, well, I know, I intend to get right, I plan on getting right, I will get right, I'll eventually get right, I promise I will get right, and then before long, you're sucked right into that black hole, man, and it'll take you away like nobody's business. Nobody that ever sins, that's a Bible-believing Christian, ever starts out thinking it's going to take them further than it takes them to. Nobody ever starts out that way. You folks that are here, you folks that have been part of this church for a number of years, you've been saved, Bible believers for a number of years, when you start down that path, you honestly believe, I can stop it. I know I'll stop it. I'll just a little bit, and I'll be okay. Then I'm going to come back and get that right. That's not how it works. That's why the Bible I'm going to show you tells you specifically there's certain things that you should steer clear of. He says, let not your good be evil spoken of. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. He says, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. You'll not be brought under the power of any. Well, preacher, is there anything in the Bible that says I can't smoke? No, but I just gave you a few verses that talk about your testimony. Yep. Is it a good testimony for you to smoke? You say, well, it doesn't really matter. Okay, smoke them if you got them. I can't judge your Christianity by whether you smoke or don't smoke or chew or don't chew or whatever, but it's kind of hard to spit over there and then tell somebody about getting saved, because believe it or not, faith to them is exhibited by your works. Now let me clarify, just because you're working doesn't mean you're saved. I'm simply saying to a lost person, they can recognize a hypocrite quicker than we can. One of the things that we have a tendency to do is that we tend to think hypocrite is somebody that's not like us. In other words, we're never the hypocrite. Right. We're always looking at somebody else and judging whether they're a hypocrite. Trust me when I tell you, the world judges us as a hypocrite. I mean, right off of Jump Street. You say, how do they judge it? They don't judge it based on the Bible. They don't have enough Bible to blow their brains out. They are Bible idiot. They have nothing to do. You know how they judge it? Well, he says he's a Christian, but he's doing stuff I don't think a Christian should do. Well, I'm not going to be judged by anybody. Okay, well, you can't reach them then. I'm a big advocate of if the Lord calls you and does something with you, then as much as is possible, without compromise, be able to put a harness on your flesh for the benefit of the younger brother or sister. It might be lawful for you. It might be completely straight up, no compromise at all. You might not have any conscience bothered whatsoever if it's not seared. Maybe the Lord will allow you to do that, and you can do that, but maybe He just doesn't want you to exercise that liberty in front of somebody else you might make stumble. Romans chapter 14 is written, ladies and gentlemen, for us today to understand at the judgment seat, one of the things we will be judged for is whether or not we as saved individuals caused saved individuals to stumble by using our liberty as an occasion to the flesh. And that may be uncomfortable. You say, well, it has to be this, and has to be this, and has to be this, and has to be that. In Romans 14, there's nothing in there about fornication or adultery or smoking or drinking or cussing or going to movies or pants or pork or anything in the law. It has to do with this. Judge this, that no man put a stumbling block in front of his brother. It doesn't even say about lost people. It says you're accountable for how you act around other people, and if your actions make others stumble, God calls you into account for it. How about that? Yeah. Amen. Man, I don't know about you, but man, that's like having smelling salts jammed up my nose. That makes me think I need to put a harness on it pretty quick and need to think long and hard before I act and be some sort of a way of being introspective before I look out at everybody else exteriorly. Now, the Bible tells you to flee certain things. One of the things He tells you to flee is, look in verse number 22. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 22. This, by the way, is the passage where the individuals are taken captive by the devil and his will. That's the context. Look at verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow a person that's calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. But He says, follow these other things here. But guess what He just said? Flee youthful lust. I'm going to address you old people for just a minute. People my age and younger. How come you keep going back to the cesspool of where you were in high school and college and listening to that slop? That's youthful lust. You know what you're doing? You're saying, well, that's for the kids and stuff. No, that's for you too. You flee youthful lust. You say, what? You're reliving the days way back when you used to be what you think you aren't. And that stuff, don't you tell me it don't trip your trigger. You're reliving the days of, you know, you made one play in 4 years and playing in ball. And, of course, you think everybody wrote you up in the newspaper and that's the greatest thing I ever did. And I scored the touchdown or I won this or I won that and all that. That was one time in 45 games, but that's the part you'll remember. You know, I jumped off the diving board or we were out at the beach and we were listening to so-and-so and we were popping the top and sitting around the fire and we were roasting hot dogs and we were having marshmallows and s'mores and I got my first kiss and we just, what brought that to mind? Music telepathically winds up working its way and transports you literally like that to what? Youthful lust. But it makes me feel good. Well, sure it would. It wouldn't hurt to run the clock back 40 years on some of you geezers. It'd make you feel a whole lot better. That's what that does. It runs the clock back in your mind until you get up and you're kind of like, oh, man, what happened? You're old. Amen. You know, well, them kids ought not be dancing. The only reason you say that is because, you know, if you did it, you'd break something. Now, what I'm telling you is that is on every time you turn around. Look, you don't have to be some stuck-in-the-mud individual that is set apart. You're so holy and sanctimonious that you can't even function in the now-known world. But you better watch that. You say, why? The Bible doesn't say, hey, a little bit won't hurt. He said, stay away from it. Amen. He not only said, stay away from it, He said, run away from it. Meaning He not only tells me, if you notice, flee youthful lust, but then He tells me what to follow. Now, if that's your case, you know what can happen? You start down that road and you think it'll never get me. I'll stop it. I'm good to go. Everything's fine. Yeah, but here's the problem. That appeals to your covetousness. You know what you want? You want your age back. You want your youth back. You want a second chance at whatever mistake you made or whatever mess you made. You want to be able to relive your glory days and stuff like that. It appeals to your covetousness, which if you're not careful will turn into idolatry. You say, oh, no, it won't. Well, just wait till I'm done with the Bible and we'll see whether or not it won't do it. You know what you're doing? You're saying, Lord, I sure wish I wasn't a 62-year-old man up here now. I wish I was 22 and having to do all over again. I wouldn't want to come back through again. You know how I know what I'm telling you is true? They not only make it out of Botox and plastic surgery and all that other kind of stuff, but I hear it every day. You turn on that box and it'll say, look 10 years younger. What if you're a 10-year-old? Does that put you back in the womb or what does that do?
But you know what happens? You're trying to recapture something that God says it's over and done with. Time to be done. Time to move on. Time to accept the fact you can't do what you used to could do. I talked to Monroe just a little bit today, and I said to him, I said, well, how are you holding up? He said, I'm doing okay. I'm hurting pretty bad, but I'm doing okay. I said, well, it's kind of tough. And I said, I remember a friend of mine told me a long time ago, you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. And he said, well, I got the dumb part down. And I said, yeah, and the older we get, the harder it is to be tough, ain't it? Because when you get older, you ain't quite got the zip and the zam and the razzmatazz you used to have. You old geezers, y'all are like, don't tell me, man, I can still get it like I used to get it. Okay. Well, have a good time till you break your fool neck. I'll come see you in the hospital. You can't react like you used to react. You can't fight like you used to could fight. You tell me you're kidding. Okay, I'll put you down here with a 30-year-old, and in about 10 or 15 seconds, you'll be going, back in my day, I used to could knock them out, John. Yeah, but it ain't your day no more. Amen. You think you're still strong. You just ain't been put to the test lately. You ain't got it like you used to have it. Say, well, I still work out, and I still run, and I still do all that. Not like you used to. Not like you used to. All right, take your Bible and come over. We're talking about fleeing some things. Look at while you're there in Timothy. Come to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. I want to make this set this up for you to make it practical. We all have things we worship. Amen! Good preaching! Wow! We all have things we worship. We all have things that we happen to be drawn to. It's when those things become such an item of worship that they superimpose themselves over God that the trouble comes in. Then it becomes idolatry. Did you realize if the Bible is right, you can become so envious and so covetous and so stubborn that you can make an idol out of those things and you can worship what you think you should have had, should have got, shouldn't have gotten, and this and that and the other, that all of a sudden even your bitterness can become to the point where no longer can you even see God because you've got so much else going on. You know, the chance you missed, somebody else got it and you didn't get it, somebody else got to do this and somebody else got to do that, they took a right turn, you took a left turn, and it worked out for them, didn't work out for you, and you sure wish you had it over because you'd all do it all that, you'd make the same mistake again. But you know what can happen? That envy and that jealousy and that stuff can fill your mind and heart so much that it doesn't matter what God tries to do in your heart, you're always trying to live something in the past. God's got you exactly where you need to be, and He'll do something with you if you'll get over yourself and let God do something with you. But you got to let that stuff go. Some of you, you're so bitter, you can't see God at all. You're just always looking to be offended. You're always looking to be upset. I say some of you, you and 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 you. Every one of us has the potential. Nobody licks this until you're dead. But you need to be aware of it. You say, what do I need to do? I need to run away from it. 1 Samuel chapter number 15, he tells you that rebellion is as witchcraft and stubbornness is as idolatry. Really? I can worship myself. I ain't changing. I'm going to be like this. So now God says, you need to change. You're like, I ain't changing. I'm right. I don't care if it hair lips the devil. Okay. You know what can happen? The Lord will let you be buried over that enviness, that stubbornness that'll bury you because all of a sudden you've made a god out of it and you're worshiping it. Amen. Yep. You make a god out of your bitterness. Can't you?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Come on, can somebody help me a little?
Amen.
Bleed or bark something, say something. Amen. Is that true or not?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you sure can. I've seen people get so bitter, they're just sitting there just a hull of a person. You say, why? They're just mad. God must have made a mistake in their life. Like, what are you? The bride at every wedding, the corpse at every funeral? You happen to be the epitome or the poster child for what Christianity is? Why do you think you get to miss out on it? The rest of us get it in the neck. Why shouldn't you? Well, you didn't get it in the neck the way I did. No, I'm sure you got it worse than anybody else. I don't care if it's a stinking cat up a tree. For somebody that's cat up the tree, that cat's a family member, that is an important thing to them as much as somebody having their house broken into. It's all dangerous to the individual, and it's all a big deal to the individual that's involved with it. I don't mean to be so pointed with you, but it's time we sort of knock the sheen off of this thing, us walking around like we got it all under control and we're all that in a bag of chips. And the fact of the matter is that the majority of the preaching in that Bible is not done to lost people and people out of the church. The majority of the preaching in that Bible is done to the nation of Israel and to the church. And the problem is not the world and the politics and all these other things going on out there and the prejudice and the race riots and all the other stuff you think is a problem. The problem that matters to God is what's going on between me and you and Him. That's what matters to Him.
Yes,
that old preacher used to say time and time and time again, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I don't know why it is that we feel this need to be involved in stuff that's going to burn. It makes no sense at all. Trying to get to the top and trying to be the best and trying to get all this and do all this and everything like that. And you have no idea if you're even going to be here tomorrow. But now you got the Taj Mahal, and so everybody comes by there and is like, man, they got a nice house. Yeah, you got the mortgage payment. But you think everybody looks at you now and says, man, you done arrived now. No, you just got good credit. Boy, that's a nice car. Got good credit. If a car makes you, you are about shallow as it gets. Where you went to school and how much you've accomplished and stuff like that, that's not biblical. That's idolatry. And you're the idol. The golden calf in our day and time, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't have four legs, it has two, and it looks at you in the mirror every day.
Amen.
Don't tell me that your opinion doesn't get in the way of the Bible. Don't tell me it doesn't get in the way between you and another brother or sister and you're having a problem. Don't tell me you don't get in the way when you have an argument with your wife. That Bible says only by pride cometh contention.
That's right.
The reason you or her are having a problem you can't get over is because you think yourself as a God. You're too big, you're too great, you can't let down. You can't give up. I'm right, you're wrong, that's just how it is. Okay, sleep on the couch. Or build the pillow wall. Don't touch me. Amen, good preaching. Thank you, preacher, that's good stuff. You say, what is that? That's you worshiping yourself over God. That's what that is. And ladies and gentlemen, that's every one of us that has the chance to do that. Your boss comes down to you and says, I don't think you're doing your job the way you ought to be doing. What do you mean? You know, so-and-so took a long time on their lunch break the other day, and so-and-so didn't turn in this and that and the other. Why are you picking on me? Racial discrimination. No, you're a poor employee.
Amen.
I'm wore out with that stuff. Oh, I'm being picked on because... No. You're being picked on because you see yourself, number one, as a God. Number two, you ain't dead.
Amen.
When God picks on you, you know why He picks on you? To show me and you we ain't dead.
Amen.
And He'll use anything He has to use to be able to get your attention. And you ain't the only one that gets picked on.
Amen.
Everybody gets picked on. I was bullied the whole time I came up through school. I think Mike Hartman had my name tattooed on his ring. I know I had his ring tattooed on the back of my head. He said, well, you know, it all came out okay. It wasn't no fun going through it. Oh, so now that's why you're so rough on us now. Yeah, that's it. That's all it is. It has nothing else to do with anything else. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Let me try to hurry. Verse number 11. The Bible says this, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Get away from them. What are they? The things in 3, at 3 through 5 and 9 and 10. The people that are teaching things that are otherwise contrary to the doctrine that the Lord's teaching. Number 5, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supposing gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. From such withdraw thyself. From such withdraw thyself.
Sure.
He teaches you that if you're hanging around people that teach you a prosperity gospel, you know what He says to you? Withdraw yourself.
Amen.
That's not what God has for you and I.
Right.
Your prosperity comes on the other side. You may or may not have it down here. Just because you got it don't mean nothing. Just because you don't mean nothing.
Amen.
You ain't no more spiritual having it than you are not having it.
Amen.
Maybe God's looking out for you. You say you don't have it. You say, why don't you have it? Maybe it would ruin you. You get to heaven and say, Lord, I appreciate it. I see now that it would have ruined me. Maybe you got it because God's putting you to the test to see what you do with it. Whew, boy, got quite there. I know what just ran through your mind. Well, I'd sure like to have it so I could at least try it. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 9. What are we trying to do? He says to flee these things. What are the things in verse number 9? That they will be rich, will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Are you sure, ladies and gentlemen, that having it all is a good thing? I got to have a career. I got to aspire to be at the top. I'll see you at the top. Yeah, you might not see me there. The Lord might want me at the bottom.
Right.
Maybe He doesn't want me to succeed. Maybe He doesn't want me to be everything that everybody thinks I'm supposed to be. Maybe He doesn't want me to have somebody build their work on top of me. Maybe God wants me to be just what I am. And maybe that's pleasing to God. You get up to heaven and the Lord says to you, says, hey, I want to ask you something, Waters.
Yes, sir. Thomas Kevin Waters. Yes, sir. I want you to sit in the back row up there. What do you think he's going to say? Lord, if that pleases you, then I'll be glad to sit in the back row. You think for one, he's going to go, wait a minute. You know who I am? You know where I am? You know what rank I achieved? I've been in the FBI Academy in Quantico. Yes, sir, man. I'm a shot, man. Lord says, yeah, you might be down there, but up here, if you want to be pleasing to me, back row, buddy. That should be your attitude now. God says to you, you're called to preach, praise the Lord. God says you're not, praise the Lord. God calls you to preach and tells you to shut up, then praise the Lord. Keep your mouth shut. You're going to do something damaging if you open your mouth when he says shut up. I preached on that on Sunday. I'm still not done with that message. There's more to come on that. But here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. He just tells you right there that he says these people will fall into temptation. Are you sure that the world is preaching to you the right gospel that says you got to get, you got to get, you got to get, you got to have, you got to have, you got to have, you got to have? They don't preach that anywhere else in the world. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons they have a problem over in Moldova, which, by the way, for those of you that gave to the contribution over there, they were able to take that money. They got them a good building now. They locked the lease down for an entire year because of that, and they're ready for their meeting. They got them a good meeting house and a good place in the center of the city, and they're very, very grateful. And I should have told you that already. I talked to them yesterday. But one of the reasons they have a problem over there is they equate the church with two things, political power and prosperity. Because what you see is you see the preachers for the Orthodox Church there, they're on the same billboard with all the people that are in political office. There ain't no separation of church and state there. Amen. The church is involved in the state. The church is involved with the same people that are oppressing the people that they're claiming to reach. Number two, you know who has the money in those poor countries, including in those little tiny villages and stuff where they don't even have meat a couple of times a year because they're so poor? You know who has the money? The guys in the church. Yeah. So you know what they think about religion? They think about religion the same thing that Soviet soldier said to me. Well, you know, there's no difference in religion and being under my commander in the Soviet Army. I said, well, how is that? He said, we were told to do what we wanted to, what we were told to do. We had to do things even if we didn't like to do those things. And after they were done using us, they took everything from us. And religion is the same thing. All you are is to tell people what to do and take everything they got. And you're the one with all the money. And I threw up a Nehemiah prayer and said, Lord, help. And the Lord gave me this. And I said, well, I want to introduce you to somebody that never took nothing from me and gave me everything.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
That wasn't me. That was the Lord. I was like, man, that's pretty good, man. And that guy stopped and thought for a minute. And then I took my glove off and I said, I appreciate your service, even if it was for the wrong cause or whatever. But I'm sure you had to endure some real tough things. I said, the Bible teaches about the Lord being a soldier. If you ever want to read about somebody that's never in it for himself but always for others, you should follow that guy. You obviously know something about military bearing. And he shook my hand and said goodbye. You know what that is? Around the world, the church is associated with under the scenes, under the table, running the government and taking money. Catholicism, same thing. You say, what about during Hitler and the Jews? They got some Jews out. That was a smokescreen. What you don't realize is the majority of Hitler's cabinet was all Catholic.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Don't take my word for it. Go look it up. And they're killing them. You say, well, they were protecting them. No, that was a smokescreen so we could help facilitate and feed the fires. You say, why? Money in it. Money in it. One of the things the Bible teaches you very clearly in this passage right here, he says the temptation and be a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while they coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They coveted after money, and so they erred in the faith. They got more interested in a job. They got more interested in a reputation. They got more interested in and being successful and having money and having a well-being. I know with the intention of when I get all that, I'm going to get back. You know, if I win the lottery, I'll give 10% to Jesus kind of thing. Well, according to that, if their motive is money, envy, that becomes an idol in their heart. And therefore, guess what happens? They err concerning the faith. It messes them up. Now they start missing church for a career. Well, we got quiet there. Well, let's make it practical down home where we live.
Well, who doesn't understand that? Hey, I understand the ox and ditch theology. I know the Bible gives us reasons for that. I understand shift work and how that has to be. The problem is not the ox getting in the ditch on his own. The problem is when you kick the ox in the ditch as an excuse not to be where you're supposed to be. By the way, if I might just add this as a matter of warm and fuzzies, I'm very churchy. I believe God, Jesus Christ, died for the church. I believe He loves the church. I believe it ought to be local church oriented. And I believe you ought to have your behind in church whenever it's possible for you to be in church. I do not believe you should use the internet or the television or anything else like that to supply, to circumvent being in church where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
If you can be in church, I believe you ought to be in church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Golf clap. I don't know. I don't call that golf club. That's constipated. You're getting lazy. You're getting lazy. I'll just tune it in. Yeah, and it's the same, isn't it? I don't think it is. So you're just trying to pump up attendance. No, I'm trying to give you the Bible. He said, forsake not the assembling yourselves together, even more so such as see the day approaching. I understand, ladies and gentlemen, there are physical ailments and there are problems. I'm not trying to put pressure on you if you're doing what's according to what the Bible would have you to do. But if you're not, I intend to put pressure on you. You say, why? I'm a preacher. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to make you feel uncomfortable and make you question the decisions you're making, because if the Bible's right, it won't be long. You'll get trapped in that decision, and before long, you will kick him to the curb before you'll kick your job or your reputation or your career to the curb. What happened to the days of Isaac where I come and breathe the Lord? Lord, if you want it, you can have it. You won't even do that with your social media. I don't care if everybody else has it. Does God want you to have it? If that's your answer, that's the garden. Lord, the woman you gave me, she did it. Why couldn't I do it? You know, why don't you ask him about you? Lord, this is a career I want to have, and this is what I want to do. I mean, whether you want me to do it or not, I'm going to do it, and then I'll get around. Okay, the Lord said, okay. And what did it cost you to get it? How about the person you're going to marry? You think God knows more about you than he does or she does? I just bet he does. By the way, don't come to the retreat if you're expecting to hear something other than that. You don't come to the retreat and get a soft side of that. No, you probably get it and get it harder. You say, why? You're making some stupid decisions. You're leaving God out, as if you're going to be around till 70 and you can change it along the way. Nobody in here, including me, can know whether or not you're going to live the next minute, let alone tomorrow. You better make decisions in light of the judgment seat of Christ. You good and mad now? Well, I'm just getting started. That's my introduction. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's time that you realize you are getting close to the end of the... Oh, they've been saying that for years. Shut your mouth. You just fulfilled prophecy. They're scoffers in the last days. It's time you guys close ranks and learn to get along with each other, in spite of the fact you have all kind of personality differences, and get your mind on Jesus Christ and get your hind end in gear.
Amen. Amen.
You say, why? Because time is short. That's why.
Amen.
You say, well, you know, I might have another 20 years. And what is 20 years compared to eternity? You're just consumed with what's going on right now. A fellow told me, he said, preacher, you kind of put pressure on people to make decisions since they're at an early age. What better time to make them? Well, I got one or two little ones. Hey, amen. As long as that doesn't mean me. Hey, can I say you geezer something? Can you show me in the Bible a retirement plan? How come you quit serving the Lord? Why do you get to sit back? Well, it's time somebody else jumped in. Why don't you jump in and show them how to do it?
Amen.
How come it's got to be on them? Well, I've done my service. Oh, you've done your service, so you didn't consider it an honor to please him anymore? Can you still sing? Sing. Can you still pray? Pray. Can you still come? Come. What else can you do? If you can't do nothing but that, that's great. Don't sit around and think, okay, now everybody needs to come to me because I'm old now and everybody's got to take care of me. No, you serve until the Lord drops you.
Amen.
Do what you can.
Amen.
Trying to put pressure on you to do stuff you used to do when you were a kid. He's talking about fleeing some things, talking about getting away from some things. Here's a good one for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm not even going to get into the main part of my message. This is just a recap from the other night. Ain't it a blessing?
Amen.
Get away from some things. How dare the God of the Bible tell you to get away from some things that would hurt you? That's an odd thing, isn't it? You mean I can't fulfill the lust of the flesh? Why not? Everybody else does. You're an idiot.
Yep.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, all the other churches, what is that? That's the garden syndrome.
Amen.
Here's Isaiah. Lord, here I am, send me.
Amen.
No, I don't want you. Okay, don't then. But I'll be right here if you need me.
Amen.
Don't have use for me now? No problem, I'll just hang out. Besides Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many of the apostles do you name besides Judas? Look, I'm not going to call you out and ask you to name the rest of them. He said, well, I happen to know them. Okay, well, good. Praise the Lord for you. I'll give you a chest to pin it on because yours is done lapped down into your drawers. But here's the point I'm making to you. Just because you're not named, there's a whole bunch of other ones in there that are doing the work of the apostle. They're just not mentioned. Isn't that odd? You don't know anything about the two boys that are in the wings waiting, have seen the resurrected Lord, and when it comes time in Acts chapter number 1, you haven't heard nothing about those boys until all of a sudden the Lord says, we need somebody to replace Judas, and all of a sudden they go over and draw straws, and Matthias gets the draw. You didn't know nothing about him. You didn't even know he was following them around. You say, what was he? Unnamed? What was he doing? He was a hay boy.
Amen.
Just doing what he could do. And guess what? He didn't know he was in preparation for the Lord one day to say, you're going to be one of the apostles. Matthias. He's an apostle. Don't you find that odd? He couldn't have been an independent Baptist because he didn't have a plaque with his name on it. He wasn't recognized every week. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, please. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 18. This is a good one for everybody. Verse 18. Flee what?
Fornication.
Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Don't you know your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost and so on and so forth, he goes. You know what he says? Get away from it.
Yep.
You know what the TV says? Get in it.
Yep.
You know what the internet says? Get in it. You know what social media says? Remember when we used to be in it. Memories. You mean when you run around like a dog or a pig? You mean before Jesus cleaned you up? You know what he said? You better get away from that stuff. Aren't you glad that don't say anything because somebody will think you actually have done it. So just be very stoic for a minute. But aren't you glad the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad He cleaned you up one day?
Yes, sir.
The very idea, the audacity of going back to what He cleaned you up from, how filthy is that? Lord, I appreciate You cleaning me up just so I can get dirty again. What happened to holiness? What happened to clean living? What happened to separated living?
Amen.
I talk like a tree fell on me or something. Y'all are like, now preacher, you can't grow no church. No, but you can sure grow Christians that way.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You might not grow numbers, but you'll still grow people.
Amen.
You say what? You'll grow people with a backbone like a saw log that'll stand when it gets difficult and when it gets hard and put aside their ecclesiastical differences, and they'll stand together and shoulder to shoulder and defend something that's worth defending.
Amen.
The Bible tells you clearly to flee some things, to get away from some things. If you'll remember, Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. That's the setup now. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Preacher, what are you getting on to us for? I mean, we're better than everybody else. We're cleaner than everybody else. I mean, I know people that are going to church right now, and the churches they go to, they don't even believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, and I mean, they wear mini skirts and bikinis to church, and they all have mixed bathing, and they all drink and they smoke. We don't do none of that. What are you getting on to us for? Are you as good as you want to be?
No, sir.
Don't you want to be better?
Yes, sir.
Do you really think you've reached the pinnacle of the temple? You're there ready to be raptured? Because, I mean, after all, you're on the Mount of Transfiguration? Well, you might be. I'm not. Maybe this isn't for you. Maybe this is for me. Maybe the Lord's just telling me, hey, Peacock, you know, you need to tighten up a little bit. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe I'm deluded in the mind. But if the Bible's right, in the last days, the seducing spirits come in And guess what they say? Please your flesh, please your flesh, please. Find you a church where it pleases your flesh. It used to be years ago, you could go down US 1. You used to go down there a number of times to eat at a little Colombian place there. And you go down that road, and on the left-hand side going down, right-hand side coming back, were these billboards that said, go to the church of your choice. You're an idiot. You don't go to the church of your choice. You go to the church of his choice.
Amen.
He'll send you to a place that makes you uncomfortable, man, as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. You'll be just as nervous, and there'll be people in there that just irritate the stew out of you. Lord, say, this is a good pot for you right here. They don't like me. Good. Maybe you'll listen to me for a change instead of trying to win a popularity contest. See how many people you can sign up for you. Make sure they get on your media thing. I ain't going to quit on it. I ain't going to quit on it. I ain't going to quit on it. You say, why? Until your responses change. When your responses change to, amen, preacher, instead of... When that changes, I'll change some things. You know what? It's like this thing comes across your head right here that says, well, everybody else might do it the wrong way, but I do it the right way. Go on, you two-legged golden calf, you. The reason you got that is because of what it does for you and your reputation, because you're able to build a profile that makes you look like something you're not. Because you can lie on it. And who's the father of lies? And you wonder whether you could be demon-possessed or not? That Bible teaches you that the Lord is truth, His Word is truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth. And the devil was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Well, it's just a little lie. I mean, I know I said I weighed 125, but I wasn't far off. It's not a big deal, preacher, really. It's just a little lie. First Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23. Make it 22. Samuel said, hath the Lord a great delight in his burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken to the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Why? Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. You know what he likens the idolatry to there? He says it's like stubbornness. He says what it is, you reject the Lord's word to you, and you refuse to get right about it, and you're being stubborn because he's told you specifically what to do, and you won't do it. Look at it. It's in the passage. Not the preacher said, God said. But you probably wouldn't even bother to ask God because you already know the answer that God would give you. Ephesians chapter 5. Can I run these verses real quick for you? I realize it's 7:59, but if you'll let me run these just a second. For some reason, we got started late. I don't know, somebody was talking or something. Surely couldn't have been me. It was me. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Yeah, that's good. Ephesians, and then I think we'll go to Colossians. Ephesians chapter number 5. And then he says, walk in love, verse number 2, as Christ loved us and given himself for us, an offering, sweet smell of sacred, fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as it becometh saints. In other words, for a saint to be covetous is not a good thing. You see that so far? Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Well, I was just kidding, you know. You might want to be careful. Foolish jesting hurts people.
Amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but
words do hurt. Yes, notice what you said, what it says here going down. Filthiness, foolish talk, and jesting are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. I'm not going to go into the whole thing tonight, but you know what he just said? A covetous man is an idolater, and it gets in the way of your rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Your inheritance, not your salvation. That's written to a believer. You know what he just said right there? That by our covetousness, we can take what it is we desire, what we want, what we think we should have, including our health, our wealth, our position, whatever it might be, we can put that to the point that it can interfere with our ability to earn rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Covetousness. You ever looked at the stuff that's on the box now? I got the stuff now. They figured some kind of work around the deal. I have a thing that they got me to do with school, and it's an iPad thing. I'm not promoting the Apple thing or whatever. I could care less. But I'm doing the thing with school, and in comes this thing, and I'm like, where'd that come from? And then you try to turn it off, and you hit the X, but it opens up an ad. And it's, you know, you need this cholesterol medicine. And I'm like, I didn't know I was sick. Really, I mean, I'm getting, I'm like, why would they even be? It's kind of like, if you would like distinctive ads that are given to just the things you're interested in, then you go in and you have to turn on this and turn off that. And I'm thinking, I don't want any of this. I want to do my work and be done. You know what it's doing? You need this. You need this. You need this. You turn on the TV, you need a car, you need medicine, you need to lose weight, you need to gain weight, you need a new dress, you need this, you need this, you need this. What's it pleading to? Covetous. What did the devil want? Something the Lord didn't want him to have. You know what he just said right there? This is a dangerous thing right here. Covetousness, which is idolatry, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. That means you lose your rewards. You say, why? Because pleasing one other God, that idolatrous God, Ezekiel chapter 14, that God takes the place of the real God. And guess what happens? All this time you think you're right with God, and God said, no, you chose to follow another God, a false God, a golden calf. That ought to shake you to the very core. That ought to make you stop and think twice. What am I coveting? It doesn't have to be money. It can be health when God doesn't want you to have it. It can be a woman or a man. And you already got the one God told you to be with. Right. It can be a job. Yep. Amen. It can be a ministry. Amen. It can be anything. The list is endless. Why does that apply to a believer today? Because the devil can still use covetousness, because it is appealing to the flesh to make you worship what you want more than worship him, showing that you would rather have what you want instead of having him. And guess what happens? You lose your rewards at the judgment seat of Christ that you could have gained, because you chose to go after what you wanted instead of what he wanted for you. Whew. So you don't understand the situation I'm in. No, but he does. Let me ask you this question. Would it be better for you to be in a jail cell or be dead and be in hell? If you're sitting in a jail cell, you're thinking, I want out, I want out, I want out. And the Lord said, if I didn't lock you up, somebody would have blown your brains out and you'd be in hell. Yep. Testimony of that kid that was down there passing out tracts to AIDS patients. You know what his testimony was? There's no telling if I would even have been here long enough to even get saved, let alone ever have gotten saved. If the Lord hadn't gotten me in here and gotten me away from all that, somebody would have probably killed me and I'd have been in hell. So I'd rather be in a jail cell and be saved than I would be out there and be have my brains blown out and be killed and go to hell. Pretty serious stuff, wouldn't you say? What are you talking about? I'm talking about covetousness. Look, if you will, just a couple of more real quick. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. I'll finish this up on Sunday. Almost done. I know you're tired and that stuff. You've had a busy day today, I understand. Colossians chapter number 3. Not making fun of you. I appreciate you being here. This is a great passage in here. There's a good sermon in just the first three verses. Risen with Christ, set affections on things above, not on things on this earth. For if you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, excuse me, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. Mortified is where you get mortician from. It just means kill them, excuse me. Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. Good night, man. There it is again. Covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, he didn't say that about any of the rest of them. You know what he said right there? He said covetousness is the idolatry, and that's the idol that you'll wind up worshiping that'll cause you to lose your rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Who would have ever thunk it? Who could have ever imagined that the God of the universe would give you a warning about the greatest proclivity that man has, and that is to be discontent in the situation or state that he is currently in, never happy. That's the passage in 1 Corinthians 10, before he says, no temptation taking you such as common man, talking about murmuring and complaining. Now you understand why the Apostle Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be what? You know what that meant? Paul was a Jew. Do you understand how bad the Gentiles hated Jews? Do you have any concept? Have you studied any history? Do you know how bad the Jews hated the Gentiles? I can't even put it in the right way. It'd be like the IRS coming to your house or something, and you can't stand that guy because he's trying to catch you at something you're not guilty of. I can't even muster up the amount of hate that they had for those kind of things. You know what the Apostle Paul was told? He's going to have to follow Jesus Christ. When he said, I'm happy to be whatever the Lord wants to be. I'm content in whatsoever state I'm in. Really, Paul, you're a Jew in a sea of Gentiles. You're the only one. Man, talk about discrimination, man. You're the only one, and you're their only hope. Well, Lord, look how they received me. They beat me a day and a night in the deep. I got thrown in prison. I got shipwrecked. I got snake bit. I got all these other kind of things going on. And not only that, the care of all the churches you gave me to take care of. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. Little bitty skinny ones, big old fat ones. I'm going to go eat worms. Why? Because nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Why? It prevents me from being covetous, which will cause idolatry. And I won't get anything at the judgment seat of Christ. And some of you are still worshiping your bitterness and you've made a god out of it. You're covetous because you didn't get what you think you should have got, or you got something taken from you didn't think should have been taken from you. You could see it from somebody else, but not you. And all of a sudden, you know what happened? You've begun to build that little thing just like an artificer would build a teraphim of brass or of silver or lead or gold, and you got that thing and you bow down to it and you give it homage all the time and you pay taxes and tithes to it and you worship it, and it has your love and it has your affection. It has all of your well-being in it. And the whole time the devil's a thief and a robber, and he is robbing you blind at the judgment seat of Christ because you put something ahead of God. Here's an old-fashioned, old-timey, right out of the Bible message. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What is the first commandment in the Ten Commandments? Do you know? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You got it? You remember the rest of it? With all thy heart and soul, right? What, and strength. What is that? God first. What a wild thing. You mean God above my hate, God above my anger, God above everything else I've got? Yeah, above everything. God upon my wish, above my wishes and desires. Yeah, above everything. I'm safe to tell you that. Everything. Above my wife. Oh no, not above my wife. Yeah, above your wife. Above your husband. Above your children. Above your job. Above your very life. Amen. First in everything. God were to swoop down upon you tonight with the avenging angel and take whatever that idol is away from you, some of you would never recover from it, because God took your God from you. The thing that just tears you out of the frame and makes you weak in the knees is, oh, I just don't know what I would ever do if that happened. You're already worshiping it. It's just a matter of time before all of a sudden you're going to get good and bitter at God, because the Lord might just let the devil mess with you because he's already got you ensnared. You say, preacher, that's kind of rough. No, it's kind of true. It's kind of true. And what happens is that we will sacrifice on the altar of the immediate the things of the permanent and think nothing of it. It is modern Christianity on steroids. We're not praying yet, unless you're sleeping. Continue to look at me for a second longer. You're living in a day and time, ladies and gentlemen, when people have considered it to be a religious priority and a prerogative to put anything they want to ahead of God, because God's just going to always be there when I get ready to pick Him back up. In the meantime, you just be there in the background where I can call on you if I need you, but don't be getting in my way.
I got stuff to do, places to go, and people to say. I got my whole life mapped out. I know where I'm going to go. I know where I'm going to retire. I know how things are going to work out with me and my wife. And Lord, don't you interrupt me and my plans. You work around my plans. You're an idolater. You're worshiping your plans. You know what the Bible says? If the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. I'll get up in the morning. If the Lord wills. You say, what might happen? She might lean over in the morning and say, hey, baby, it's time to get up. You got to go. You got to get on the road early. Let's go. Get up, baby. You got to go. Hey, 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 wake up. Pick up the phone. Call several of you men in here and say, he's gone. Well, she might be sad, but you better not have all them eggs in that basket. You say, why? It better be. Lord, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. He chose to leave me by myself, so I guess that's where I need to be.
Yep.
You said it never happened. I can't even say the things that are in my mind right now because it would sound like I was a stinking roaring lion and I'm just ripping you to shreds. But I am wore out with this worldly attitude toward God. Like God understands, you know, how we are. Yeah, ask God today when tomorrow when you get in the car, nobody else is around, and you flip on your radio station, ask the Lord if he wants to listen to your garbage stuff. Hey, Jesus, you mind me? Oh, he don't pay no attention to that stuff. That's just a flash. It ain't no big deal. Okay, help yourself then. You got to have your way, idol worshiper. You'd never build an idol out of your way, would you? Balaam did. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did. The gainsaying of Korah, the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of Cain, they did. I'm going to have my way. So'd Frank. Sinatra. I did it my way. Your way lands you in hell, and if you're saved, you know where you'll end up? You'll wind up at the judgment seat of Christ with every cotton-picking thing you could have had turned into wood, hay, and stubble. And it'll burn like rubber tires. You know what you'll say? What's he so angry about? Lord said, do you think that's what I saved you for, just to live for yourself?
Amen.
Well, no, Lord, I didn't think that, and I intended to get around to it. Yeah, you figured you had plenty of time left, didn't you? I look at my life, like Brother Art said earlier today, I look at my life and I think to myself, I don't know why the Lord hadn't snuffed me out.
Amen.
On more than one occasion. I'm being serious. I'm not being all falsely humble or another. I'm thinking to myself, when it comes to being sold out, I mean really sold out. I mean 100% sold out. I question myself. Am I really sold out? That means the Lord can do whatever he wants with my life, with my ministry, with my family, with my finance. Can the Lord do what he wants with everything? That's sold out. Well, can he? I've listened, ladies and gentlemen, to, in the last 3 or 4 days, I've listened to a grown woman say, well, I'll let God have it, but he ain't having that. And she is about to, just as sure as I'm standing right here, make one of the most horrible mistakes she's ever made. You can't say that. No, I can say that. You go ahead and run off your mouth the way you want to. She is fixing to cross what that book says and make a horrible mistake. You say, why? She's made an idol out of her own decision. And I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care who it upsets. You mean even if it upsets him? I wish you'd be that concerned about upsetting the devil. But you're not. But you just expect the Lord to understand you upsetting him. Yeah, God understands. We good, man. Me and the man upstairs. We can flow it. We good. I bet he don't throw no gang signs with you. Peace, love, and Woodstock. You know what I bet he says tonight? I bet he says this. Believe it or not. Yeah, that's right, preacher. Tell him. Tell them I'm tired of being on the shelf. Tell them I'm tired of being in the closet. Tell them I'm tired of being last thing thought of. Tell them I'm wore out with not being first in their life and everything they do. Go ahead and tell them that.
Maybe I got an amen out of glory tonight. You say, why? I know I'm on safe ground to tell you, you will never go wrong putting Him first.
Amen.
Ever!
Amen.
But we're like the apostles, and I'm done. Hey, boys, let's go. I'm going up to Gethsemane now to pray. Get just inside the gate. You guys go ahead and sit down here. Sit just close enough to the gate so you can get a little bit of me over here under the olive tree praying and a little bit of the world, and make sure you just sort of stay right there in the middle. Just stay right there. Well, preacher, I got kids. Yeah, you can make a god out of kids. Can't you? Got plans. Make sure your kids' careers and sports and all that stuff come ahead of God. Yeah, I mean, if it fits for everybody else with smoking and drinking and cussing, how not you? Oh, well, that's permissible, right? Right? Sure, that's permissible, right? Sure, it must be. I mean, you know, it's just for a little while. I figure if I'm going to make you good and mad, you just well get good and mad. Go out there because of that and make what it ain't about the kid. You ain't fooling me. It's because it makes you look good. Recitals, all kind of stuff. You say, why? Church will always be there. We can go to church anytime. They ought to be glad just to have us in church. We got to spread the love, baby. We got activities. We have a chance to be somebody, be somewhere. I'd like to be there. I don't understand why my business is struggling. Because you're there instead of where you should be, maybe. Maybe. I'm just saying, just maybe. Preacher, now you're going to meddling. You sure I'm meddling or not telling the truth? Paul said this. He said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Well, apparently so, because boy, did the countenance has just changed when I brought up sports. I've seen kids in the first grade out here. They think they're going to be a professional athlete. Well, I'm for sports. I think it's great. Get out there and bang around and bump around and all that other kind of stuff. I think it's great. But you better keep it in the proper context.
Amen.
And you won't amen it. You know why? Because you are neck deep in it.
Amen.
You tell me you care about a soul? Well, the proof's in the pudding. Justified stuff you would have never justified before, but now things are different.